morning and welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Tip of the hat to Egg in Motion show director Rob O'Connor and team after what is literally one full year of prep and planning. Last year's show just wrapped up, and they were already in plans for this year's show. Egg in Motion 2025 fires up today and lasts for the next 3 days. Looking forward to doing the show live down there. This is Egg in Motion, if you haven't been there, is just outside of Saskatoon by the community of Langham. It's about 15 minutes or so outside of Saskatoon. 640 acres. Basically, it's a section of land that turns into a mini city. They have 30,000 visitors, I think, over the next few days, 600 exhibitors, and you name it, they've got it. I said this off the start of the show. If you're planning on going to Egg in Motion, you are well advised to download the app on your phone. The Egg in Motion app, literally, it was essential for me last year. It becomes your guide for where the exhibitors are, maps, the schedule, the food vendors, demo times, everything like that is on there. We'll be talking about that off and on today, but really tomorrow and Thursday, it will be a big part of the show. Canadian inflation rate going up 1.9%. Just came out this morning. We found out the economists pull together and decide, yeah, it's actually up from the 1.7 that it was in May. So given that, it'll be interesting to see what the Bank of Canada does next time they're making a decision on the interest rates, which is coming up on July 30th. So they use this as one of the indicators as to what they're going to do with interest rates. We've got Ralco business commentator Paul Martin joining us later in the show. So that will be something we will chat about there. Okay, a variety of things. Phone lines are open, 1-877-332-8255. As kind of a fun little topic of discussion, and this is not going to take the full hour, but we will weave this through the next hour of discussion. Luke Wilson, who I'm going to say does a phenomenal job at what the CFL and TSN have hired him to do. He's the TSN CFL analyst who has got more people talking about things in the CFL than we've had in a long time. Some of it maybe from a controversial standpoint, because remember last week we talked about the fact that he he moved the Saskatchewan Roughrider fan base from number one in the league to number two, given the fact that we've got some empty seats in the stands. You and I had a talk about that. Well, he spent some time in the province over the last month or so with the Rider game on Friday night, which of course became the Rider game on Saturday. But he's also in Saskatoon for an event. So he posts this video on Twitter.
Quick update. Non-football related. This is a little, this is more for my Saskatchewan people. And I could be in trouble for this. So a couple months ago, I was in Saskatoon, and I was asking the people of Saskatoon what Regina's like, because I'm going there a couple months. And they're like, oh, it's great. You know, we love Saskatoon. They're very polite. I was blown away by Saskatoon. Regina's seen better days. I thought there was some sort of rivalry between Regina and Saskatoon. It's not even close. And the people of Regina are great. Well, my goodness, this place is nuts. I got to take Saskatoon over Regina all day. If that makes me public enemy number one, then so be it. But I got to be honest. Saskatoon's a great place. I've never seen anything like Regina, man. This is downtown, looks like. I don't even know.
So I got such a kick out of that. Downtown looks like I don't even know. So, you know, where are you at with this? I feel like this is a bit of a one-sided rivalry. Now, I could be wrong. Don't forget, I spent most of my adult life in Regina, working for the Regina Police Service. But when I say one-sided rivalry, it feels like the rivalry is bigger between Regina people than it is Saskatoon. I feel like Saskatoon doesn't make a big deal of this. Like, yeah, whatever. Regina. Saskatoon's a great city. We love Saskatoon. Whereas Regina folks are always wanting to be the comparison. Well, maybe it's the Regina feel like it feels like the underdog. I don't know. I can put together a grocery list of great things for both cities. I could also put together a few things in the cons column, but we'll leave that. Anyway, What do you think of the rivalry? Is it still there the way it always has been? It's a fun, healthy rivalry, but no doubt Luke Wilson's comments have sparked it up again here. So thanks to Luke Wilson for doing his job of being a great antagonist, even further outside than just the guardrails of CFL discussions. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open for you. Text lines are open for you. Okay, the EV mandate, although the Mark Carney government have dispensed with the wildly unpopular consumer carbon tax. Now, I'm going to say dispensed with, and I'm going to put an asterisk there because we know it's basically you're not being charged the carbon tax, but it's not gone. They haven't removed the legislation. So fair enough. That is still there. But they have announced that they are going to stay the course on an environmental policy that's almost as controversial, and that is the system of mandated sales quotas on new vehicles, under which any sales of new gas or diesel-powered vehicles become prohibited by 2035. So it's the EV sales mandate. Now, we've talked about this on the show a number of times. I'm not anti-electric vehicle. If you own an electric vehicle, good on you. In fact, I'm curious to know how it's going. You like it? Do you love it? Was it the right choice? All of those types of things. There's lots of them out there. In fact, I've got friends, I've got family that have made their step into whether it's fully electric or a hybrid vehicle. Where I get grumpy is the notion of a mandate. I get grumpy about the suggestion that government is saying in now under 10 years, you're not going to be able to buy a gas-powered vehicle. How does that even make sense that that's a thing to say, let alone a goal to set for our country? Far too aggressive, far too expensive. In terms of a mandate, does this naturally happen over time? Yeah. 100 years from now, 50 years from now, I don't know. Pick the number. What our vehicles look like and how they're propelled down the road is likely going to be different than it is today. We could be into hydrogen powered vehicles. There's a variety of things that could be happening. So Nanos does some check-ins on this. Nanos, of course, a polling and survey company. They did another recent survey. Last year, they did a survey and found that there was more Canadians that didn't support this than did. Well, guess what? The number's growing. The number is actually larger today than ever before. The number of people that outright support the electric vehicle mandate in Canada, 10%. 1 in 10 in Canada outright support the electric vehicle mandate. Close to 70% are opposed to it. In fact, in the prairies, the number's a bit higher than that. It's about 75%. And believe it or not, this is part of the poll stats that are surprising to me. A lot of young people are captured in the do not support category. Mainly because they're worried about costs. They're worried about cost of living. They're worried about the impact that it's going to have on their ability to continue to support themselves. So clearly we know with electric vehicles, number one, there's work to be done to perfect the technology. The technology is far from perfected. Look how many years, how many decades, centuries now we can measure it actually, that we've had to perfect the combustible engine. And how we use oil and gas in our vehicles. It's going to take a while to get there with electric vehicles. We need to strengthen the life of batteries, by the way, something we're talking about later on the show. We need to understand how they perform in our country, in our environment. How are these vehicles doing in winter? I've got a good friend who says loves his electric vehicle, but yep, it dies quicker in the winter. So it's a fact. The battery doesn't last the same as he does going on across Canada or across Saskatchewan trek in the summer as it does in the winter, which lends itself to where are the charging stations? What's the infrastructure look like to set up and handle this? And then let's throw out, how about this? Let's throw out some incentives for buyers, as opposed to punishing people, as opposed to, the MO that we've seen with things like the taxing carbon tax and the taxing regime that we've seen. How about you just throw out some incentives and allow people to make their own decision? So I'd love to hear from you, 1-877-332-8255. Where are you at on this electric vehicle mandate? If you were part of the Nano survey, are you in the 70% opposed? Are you in the 10% that outright support it? Or are you in that kind of marginal middle group that are still waiting to see? 1-877-332-8255 is the number. Les in Corning, what do you think? You buying an electric vehicle soon?
Not a chance, Evan. I'm completely against it. Living out here anyway, that ain't going to fly come winter around this country. The charging grid isn't set up. Anything. Like, it took centuries to get the gas-powered vehicle, over 100 years.
Yep.
And they want to mandate this immediately, they're out of their head. And the reason they're only mandating it right away, well, guess what? Mark Carney's the prime minister. Mark Carney's invested in Brookfield. Mark Carney's invested in the batteries. Mark Carney's invested in the charging stations.
Oh, hey, Les, didn't you hear? He put his stuff in a blind trust.
Oh, yeah, Evan, come on. 103 investments. That man can't, I don't know even know why he goes into Parliament, because he can't sit in any of the meetings. And you don't think that's rigged, that he just talks to everybody before and it's got to be pushed through? It seems like that's what's happening right now, and yet nothing has been done, because they're trying to figure out how to get around all this. And it's just not going to fly. This country is going to fail so bad as long as Carney's in there. You're going to see it, Evan. You're going to see it.
Okay, Les, you've started us off. You've convinced me you're in the 70% opposed of Canadians opposed to the EV mandate. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to take a break. We got a full hour of open phone, so lots of times. Richard in Saskatoon, don't go away. You're my next caller. I'm going to say, this is just me unedited, I feel like our text line is, I don't know if it's down or not working, but mine is not refreshing. I've got one text, and I know there's lots more than that. So anyway, we're working on that. We're going to get the texts up and running so I can get to some of your texts in just a moment. Open lines, the EV mandate, where do you sit? We'll talk to Richard next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Electric vehicles. There's one very aggressive texter saying, Evan, why do you hate electric vehicles so much? I don't. I've ridden in them. I will say this. I won't be shocked that if in my lifetime I own an electric vehicle. What I'm mad about, what I'm frustrated about, what I'm against is being told when I'm buying it. I don't like that. I don't think this country has its collective stuff together enough when it comes to electric vehicles for the government to be mandating when we have to make this transition. Let it happen. Let it happen naturally. There was, so Cameron actually sent this text in from Regina. He said, I remember this being referenced on your show before. They have never had to mandate light bulbs, right? They've never had to say, okay, by the year 2030, no more candles. You've got to go to light bulbs. Because eventually, the technology advances to the point where it becomes the logical choice. It becomes the affordable choice. It becomes the practical choice. It becomes the, put whatever word you want in there. right? That happens over time. So let it happen. Don't mandate it through government legislation. That's what I'm opposed to. Not the notion of electric vehicles, the mandate is what I'm opposed to. 1-877-332-8255. Richard in Saskatoon. What do you say, Richard? This EV mandate, where are you? If you were part of the Nanos poll, are you for or against?
Totally against the idea of a mandated deadline. I'm 100% with you, Evan. I think it's probably way higher than 70% of people. We live in a country that we expect to have a choice in what we do. Just look at what recently on the tariffs and alcohol in Saskatchewan. Yep. Our government finally went, look, you guys have a choice to buy Canadian, you have a choice to buy American, you have a choice to buy French, whatever. But you have a choice you make with your family. I'm really skeptical about Mr. Carney's idea of what he's saying and what he's actually doing. If he really, truly wanted electric vehicles in this country, he would not put out a tariff on Chinese vehicles. If they are efficient, if they are roadworthy in this country, and they're one-tenth the cost of what our industry makes, certainly our industry needs to do a better job. But if you really, truly want electric vehicles in this country, let those other countries flood the market if that's your idea of what you want to do. However, even the mandate will not eliminate the gas-powered vehicles until they put mandate that says you can no longer drive them.
Whoops, sorry about that. Richard, I just want to jump in because I want to grab one more call before we go to the break. I want to take Doug in Arcola. Doug, what do you say? We got about a minute left. The EV mandate, for or against?
Thanks, Evan. I'm partially for. I would suggest that they want to start mandating, take all your major cities with the millions of populations and people using them for commuting, the heavy traffic areas, put the mandate, make it electric vehicles in those zones, and that'll eliminate 70% of the vehicles. It'll eliminate your CO2, carbon tax, climate change, the whole bit, all in one easy swipe, and all the electric vehicles will be where the people are congregated, mm-hmm. where the pollution is the greatest.
Geographical mandates is what you're saying.
That's right.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's take another break. I know we've got more calls coming in on the mandate of electric vehicles. I also, by the way, I got the text line back up and running, thankfully. Ooh, I was worried about that. Boy, there are people with opinions on Regina versus Saskatoon. In motion this morning. It fires up today and lasts for the next 3 days. Just outside of Saskatoon in Langham, Saskatchewan, 640 acres of the latest in ag equipment, technology, innovation, and of course, great conversation. I'm looking forward to being down there tomorrow and Thursday. So if you are going to Ag in Motion, I'd love you to stop by and say hi. Okay. We started a couple of different conversations. We're having a great conversation on electric vehicle mandate and whether or not that is something I'm going to continue our argue it's not something that this Canadian government should be mandating. And I've got James and Cal standing by on the phone. Don't go away, fellas. I'm going to get to you in a second. But the other conversation sparked by a Twitter post from TSN CFL analyst Luke Wilson is the rivalry between Regina and Saskatoon. I'll remind you again, this is what Luke Wilson had to say.
Quick update. Non-football related. This is a little, this is more for my Saskatchewan people, and I could be in trouble for this. So a couple months ago, I was in Saskatoon, and I was asking the people of Saskatoon what Regina's like, because I'm going there a couple months. And they're like, oh, it's great, you know, we love Saskatoon, they're very polite. I was blown away by Saskatoon. Regina's seen better days. I thought there was some sort of rivalry between Regina and Saskatoon. It's not even close, and the people of Regina are great. My goodness, this place is nuts.
So Luke Wilson basically got people talking about Regina or Saskatoon. Which do you choose? And on the text line, 1-877-332-8255, Well, Kirk from North Battleford says, Saskatoon or Regina, forget that. North Battleford is where it's at. And he says, just kidding. I'm going to give this one to Regina. Pat in Warman said, I grew up in Regina, moved to Saskatoon in my late 30s. I had no idea of a rivalry between the two cities until I moved to Saskatoon. I had people telling me how horrible Regina is. The water is unfit for human consumption. She puts in brackets, water I drank all my life. And then when asked when they had been there last, the response was, more often than not, that they had actually never been to Regina. Pat goes on to say, people from Regina, at least my age group, had no idea about the bashing of our beloved hometown on behalf of Saskatoon. Both cities have areas of beauty and areas of ugliness. I personally think there's more ugliness in Saskatoon right now than Regina, probably because it's a bigger city with a higher population. Steve says, I don't feel safe in Regina. Downtown feels like you're going to get robbed. Your windows in your car might get broken when you come back from dinner. That's Steve in Swift Current. He says, Regina's not moving in the right direction. Here's a text that says, Evan, my son was in Saskatoon this weekend for a golf trip, and when he got home, he commented how nice Saskatoon's downtown is at night. They went out to the bars. He said, it's such a safe and fun atmosphere compared to Regina at night. They were there. Police were patrolling on bikes and on foot. He said he felt totally safe there as well. Ruth in Swift Current, Saskatoon is so beautiful and bright. Regina, dull and drab. Ruth says Moose Jaw is the same. I grew up in Regina's South End. I don't know why, but it's always been that way. 1-877-332-8255 is the number if you want to jump in on the Regina versus Saskatoon rivalry. Phone lines are lighting up, so that tells me someone's been triggered by something that I said. Okay, back to the phone lines. Back to the topic of EV mandate. I'm going to start with Cal in Oxbow. What do you say on this one, Cal?
Good morning, Evan. Wow, it's a definite, absolute, uncategorically no to mandates, Evan. I mean, people seem to forget already quickly how mandates create a real issue in the country. And anybody that argues for mandates, Evan, I don't know if they really understand what freedom is then in Canada. I mean, right now, I got a little pit in my stomach. It works me up in terms of this idea of freedom of choice, Evan. Mm-hmm. Like right now in the federal government, we've got three bills going through, C2, C4, and C5. C2, the CSIS, is going to allow them to open our mail, collect data. C4 is going to exempt parties from all privacy laws so that they can use our data for whatever they want. And, of course, C5 is another power grab by the Liberals where the cabinet can suspend any federal law for any project it deems in the national interest. So that would include this green energy mandate thing. And there's no public debate on these things. Evan, anywhere else in the world, this would be considered authoritarianism. But in Canada, it's just looked at as legislation. So I cannot agree with this mandate at all.
There's a lot of people that will share that opinion. And I've had this conversation with many people off air, just showing up, go to an event or just bumping into people casually. Not to sound like a broken record, but it's really not about electric vehicles. I'm not opposed to electric vehicles. I am opposed to a mandate. It just feels like it's rushed. We're not set up for it. The technology's not, to me, it's not there yet. And that includes battery life and battery technology. But further than that, I mean, think about the cost implications. This is why in this recent Nano survey, where close to 75% in the prairies are opposed to an EV mandate, but in Canada in general, the number is still close to 70%. Think about that. Like, if the government doesn't sit back and consider that in its decision making, then maybe they aren't as interested in listening to the people as they think. Because what I was going to say is the young people in this survey, in this recent Nano survey, the young people were amongst the biggest demographic not supporting an EV mandate, and most of it was around cost. The cost of electric vehicles is still high enough right now. along with all of these other things that I've talked about, that it just doesn't make sense when young people are having a tough time putting food on the table, buying their first house. All of the cost of living issues are hitting them exponentially hard. Throw electric vehicle mandate into the mix, and it just complicates things greatly. Okay, let's keep going on the phone. James has been waiting patiently in Regina. James, thanks so much for hanging on. Your thoughts on an electric vehicle mandate?
Absolutely no, sir. There's some interesting things about that. If you ever get a chance to look up, everyone, it's from the Manhattan Institute. And a few years ago, they put out an amazing article called New Energy Economy and Exercise in Magical Thinking. And what they did is they took everything that all the governments, not just in North America, but around the world, are indicating that they want to do or that they are going to do, and then reverses that and says, okay, this is what has to happen in order to do that. Some of these critical minerals, we are 1,000 mining years behind in order to meet those mandates. 1,000 mining years. You can't condense that. Follow the money, Evan. Follow the money. You don't have to worry about interprovincial trade barriers. There'll be interprovincial travel barriers because nobody wants to take 3 days to drive to Vancouver. Because currently, in an EV, that's how long it takes you to get to Vancouver.
All right. So I'll check that out, the Manhattan Institute report. Thanks for referring us to that, James. You know, what will happen is, if this does go ahead as planned, if the federal government decides it's not going to listen to the majority of Canadians, it's going to push ahead with an unrealistic EV mandate, is sometime between now and 2035, they're going to realize, oh, this isn't going to happen. We're going to have to adjust the date. We're going to have to pull back on some of the aspirations that we had. But in the meantime, you and I have been paying through the nose. You and I have been forced, whether it through taxes to build infrastructure, whatever it may be, we have been forced to pay for it. So why be unrealistic in it? Come up with some sort of incentive. But first, let's get the technology. Let's get the infrastructure. Let's get all of the pieces aligned better. I mean, James just brought up critical minerals, which are an essential part of battery development, which obviously is a big part of this. And we're one country in the world. Other countries are it's not just what Canada needs. It's what the world needs. So let's just slow it down for a second. 1-877-332-8255. Blair in Saskatoon, back to the Regina versus Saskatoon discussion. I hear Saskatoon is getting a new zoo. Then he goes on to say, we're putting a fence around Regina. Ha, ha, ha. Thanks, Blair. 1-877-332-8255. Tom in Regina, 100% Luke Wilson is correct. Saskatoon feels like a thriving city. Regina is a place to live and then a place to leave when you need to be entertained. My wife and I often leave Regina to go to Saskatoon for the weekend, stay downtown, eat at the restaurants, enjoy being in the vibrant atmosphere. Regina feels like a very large, small town. It disappoints me to say this because I live in Regina, but I have felt this for many years. Tom, thanks for the text. 1-877-332-8255. I want to grab another call or two here before we take our break. I've got a lot of people calling in. I'm going to go to Dick in Borden, Saskatchewan. Dick, thanks for calling in. What is your thought on EV mandate?
Well, on the EV mandate, Evan, I would like to see the government and the oil companies. We're trying to make both of these things an option. Or whatever, because let's face it, the electrical system is never going to handle everybody having an electric vehicle in 10 years. Why don't, we try to get more technology into getting better gas mileage out of our fossil fuels,
right,
or whatever. And it'll work for the motors in the vehicles. It can work on the turbines, the gas turbines that run the generating stations, which supply the electrical system with energy, and we can try to keep everybody happy that way.
100%. I think you're onto something there, Dick, because we know that energy demand is not going down. And so it feels like we have, in some cases, some people, it's not just restricted to government. We've got other lobby group efforts out there as well that feel like it's, you got to pick one and stick with it. So it's all about renewable energy sources. Well, I'm sorry. That is not practical right now. Do we get there in a decade? Do we get there in a century? Do we get there in 500 years from now? I mean, that's yet to be said. But this is about how we're making this transition. And to me, we can't be forcing this issue. And the fact that the government is continuing to go down this path, I've got a number of people, Colleen, I noticed on the line saying, why aren't people more worked up about this? This isn't getting as much news and talk as some people feel that it should. 1-877-332-8255. Let's take our last break. When we'll come back, I've still got packed phone lines. I'm going to do my best to get to all of you. And I've got lots of texts coming in as well, whether you want to talk about the electric vehicle mandate or maybe you want to talk about what city's better, Regina or Saskatoon. I'm happy to hear you on either here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm loving the discussion on the text and the phone line today. We have literally two streams going. One is the whole fight between which city's better, Regina and Saskatoon. But the other one is about the electric vehicle mandate that the current Liberal government has picked up from the old Liberal government, and it's full steam ahead. There's no, maybe steam's not the right word. It's full electric power ahead because they feel as if the mandate to have no more new gas or oil-powered vehicles sold by the year 2035 makes sense. Here's a text I love. You can guarantee that hundreds of thousands of people were put out of work by the invention of modern-day vehicles. And it goes on to list carriage manufacturers, barns, horse breeders, people that put up feed for the animals, blacksmiths, so many jobs that were essentially ended by the invention of automobiles. Electric vehicles will have a similar impact, but the government doesn't need to tell us when or how to do it. That to me that's essentially the point. Where we're at 100 years from now, people will look back and go, can you believe they used to do this? Just like our ancestors needed a blacksmith for the horses that pulled their carriages, for whatever. At the end of the day, this is natural evolution. But the second that government steps in and says, we're going to push our foot on the gas pedal on this one and make it happen a little bit quicker, to me, veers it off course greatly. Lauren in Saskatoon, what do you say on this whole EV vehicle mandate?
I agree 100%, and I think with most people out there, according to the surveys, that we're way ahead of ourselves on this, and with such a short time frame that this has become in vogue, there's going to be, you know, many, many improvements, maybe even different sources of fuel. Somebody mentioned hydrogen. Mm-hmm. So definitely we don't need any date set out there in the future where we can't buy fuel-powered vehicles because nobody can predict that far into the future. But, and then on the other hand, and I think maybe it was you that mentioned that maybe we should use incentives to right. encourage it, but I disagree with that 100% because if you're not sure of the technology that you're going to be promoting, the last thing you want to do is waste more public funds encouraging something that might be passé in 10 years.
Your whole message essentially, Lauren, is let's not get ahead of ourselves, and I totally agree with you on that. I know I'm up against the clock, but I cannot avoid taking Ian's call quickly. Saskatoon or Regina, Ian, what's your take on that?
Well, like I said to the young fellow that answered the phone, I've lived in Saskatoon and Regina and a number of other cities in the province. I'm from Saskatoon, okay? When we lived in Regina, I never heard one person say anything negative about Saskatoon. growing up, it was like, oh, yeah, like that guy said, you know, there's a new zoo around Regina, or if it wasn't for the riders, we'd never go to Regina. And it was funny, when we wound up, we were going to be moving back to Saskatoon, and we called some family and friends to tell them. One of the first comments was, oh, it must be so nice to be getting out of Regina. Where the heck did that come from? It's almost like a little, even though we're bigger and maybe more, like not a government town, we're a, you know, more business-oriented, if yep. I think. It's like a little brother syndrome. I really don't get it. And as for walking around at night downtown, I would rather walk around in downtown Regina at night than downtown Saskatoon. And I know both areas have their tough zones, but downtown Saskatoon to me is scary.
Okay, we're going to have to take our break here, but clearly we could dedicate another hour to this conversation. Maybe we will someday soon. It's been a great chat today. Thanks for joining me on Open Lines here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.